Good morning once again, brothers and sisters and friends. Happy New Year. Well, this morning, we're going to continue to look in the last songs in the first two chapters in the Gospel of Luke, which is also the last installment of this sermon series of the songs of Christmas in the first two chapters. We have two before the birth and two after, so we have the last one right now. We have looked at first Zechariah's song about Zechariah's doubts. We looked at Mary's fear. Then last week we looked at the angel's wonder. And so today we're going to be looking at Simeon, a man named Simeon and his comfort. So let me first read the text, and then I'm going to point out the significance of comfort. So the text here is in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, how now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Thanks be to God. Let us pray one more time to ask God to bless our time together. Father, we pray that you will help us to hear your words with an open heart. Help us to understand so that we may believe. Help us to follow your truth with faithfulness and obedience. And help us to seek your honor and glory in all that we do. Through listening to this truth, let us see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So the story I have just read clearly is about this man Simeon's encounter with baby Jesus and his parents, Joseph and Mary, which happens about 40 days after Christmas, 40 days. We know that because verse 22 mentions the purification rite that Mary is supposed to do, which takes place about 40 days after the birth. So this whole incident happened in the temple of the Lord, which is where Simeon sung this song. Now, although this may be the last song concerning Jesus' birth in the book of Luke, but for sure this isn't the least important one, because what Simeon sings about, that is comfort. How do I get the word comfort? In verse 25, mentions the consolation of Israel. Comfort comes from the word consolation, which is what Simeon's been waiting for all his life, which means this word consolation, comfort, means encouragement, means exhortation or lifting up of one spirit. This kind of comfort is what keeps us believers going in life that is often difficult, full of pains and trials until Jesus returns, or perhaps when we go to be with him in heaven. I read this interesting experience of President Lincoln this week during the time of the Civil War. This one time, one of his old friends came from Springfield, Illinois, to visit him in Washington. His name is Billy Brown. So Billy Brown came to visit Lincoln. So he came to the front door, and the aide asked him, "Do you have an appointment?" And Billy Brown said, "No, I don't. Just tell him that Billy Brown is here." So moments later, Lincoln came out himself to greet Billy Brown. So, and he was excited and very glad to see him. But Lincoln was actually looking quite thin and weary because of the war the whole time. So the two of them had dinner and spent the rest of the day together, try to catch up. But it was just mostly Billy Brown talking to Lincoln. Lincoln didn't really say much, and Billy Brown was just telling him what's going on back home in Springfield. Because Lincoln has been away for about 3.5 years already, and so didn't really know what's going on. Now, the two of them really had a great time spending the rest of the day. When the night ends, Lincoln asked Billy Brown to spend the night there instead of going home, but Billy Brown didn't want to impose, so no, he didn't stay. But then all of a sudden, right before Billy Brown leaves, Lincoln asked, "Hey, Billy, why did you come here? What did you come here for?" And Billy Brown says, "I came here to see you, Mr. Lincoln." And then Lincoln pressed on and said, "Billy, out with it. What is it?" And Billy Brown said, "No, I just want to see you. You seem kind of lonesome here." And Lincoln, in disbelief, said, "You mean you came all the way from Springfield, Illinois, just to visit me? That you have no complaints in your pockets or a vice up your leaves?" Billy Brown said, "Yes, that's it. I don't have anything." Then tears streamed down from Lincoln's eye, and then Lincoln said, "I'm homesick, Billy, just plumb homesick, as it seems as if this war would never be over, seeing all the death and horror." He continues and said, "You'll never know just how good, what good you have done me." That's the end of the story there. That visit had really kept Lincoln going. And in a similar sense, as for us, dealing with life often feels like that we are at war dealing with this and that. So being reminded of the goodness and comfort of our heavenly home, that there is an end to our current situations in life, and that we get to go home to be with God, with our Maker and our Savior, should be what's keeping us believers going now, in the midst of all the difficulties and trials and pains that we are facing in life. Now, with that said, I want to really delve deeper into what this text, and especially what Simeon sings about in his song, has to say about three things. One, why this comfort is so needed. Why this comfort is so needed. Two, what this comfort is all about. And three, how this comfort can be ours. Okay, these three points. So let's look at them one by one. Why this comfort is needed, particularly in Simeon's situation. We will start with Simeon, and then we're going to turn to ourselves here. Well, if you remember last week's message, if we were going to ask why this comfort is needed, if you remember last week's message about the angel's song, I mentioned about the time and setting of the coming of the Messiah. Both Israel and the ancient world were in the midst of dark times. Israel, God's people, were in exile. They were dispersed, scattered all over the ancient world. Jews in Palestine were under oppression, politically speaking, as well as economically speaking. God has been silent for over 400 years. No word from any prophets. Why? Because God's people remain to be disobedient, idolatrous, hypocritical, worldly as ever. And I also mentioned about how the ancient world has been ravished by different ruthless rulers from Babylon, Persia, Greece, and now Rome, along with many wars and famines and hostilities and oppression. It was a time of extreme moral decline. If you doubt about that, just read Romans chapter 1 on Paul's description of the moral climate and decline of the first century. You can see all kinds of moral darkness and depravity. People being ungrateful, disrespectful, hateful, even murderous to other people, adulterous, perverted, greedy, deceitful, covetous, envy, all kinds of things. Hearing this, the truth is, this kind of moral atmosphere doesn't seem too different from our society today. We would be so blind to think that this world is how it's supposed to be. And on top of it, I'm sure no one would think that natural disasters such as wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, even COVID, no one would think any of that is good. Yet, we are all dealing with them somehow, some way in life. Not to mention, many people are also experiencing personal dark times. Maybe you're dealing with physical health issues, maybe depression, mental issues, mental illness, emotional difficulty, financial problems, all kinds of pressure, stress, and anxiety. Well, these personal aspects of things led me to think about Simeon in this story. Simeon, I wonder what was going through his life. What was he going through, personally speaking? Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of information to go on. He isn't mentioned before or after this account in the Bible. And there's a whole lot for us to speculate here about him. But let's just start with what we know about him from Luke here. Luke tells us in verse 25, Simeon was righteous and devout. Now, righteous, I have been mentioning that in my previous sermons, when the Bible describes Zechariah, Elizabeth, and even Joseph as righteous, it doesn't mean that they are righteous in and of themselves. It means that they are dependent on God's grace for their righteousness. Okay? That's what it means. And on top of it, Luke also describes him as devout. And this has to do with Simeon abiding or keeping the law of God, particularly has that connotation. So Simeon is a law keeper, in other words. He is righteous and devout. Luke also tells us that the Holy Spirit miraculously revealed to Simeon, and notice this isn't necessarily a Holy Spirit giving him a special strength though, he just revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ, the promised Messiah, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit even miraculously guided Simeon to know when to go inside the temple to see Jesus, verse 27. Which is when Joseph and Mary came to do all that was required by God's law. Now, beyond these and Simeon's prophetic words here, we don't know anything else about Simeon. And by the way, how old do you think Simeon was at the time? Really. It's often assumed that he's an old, old, old man, if you see all the Christmas play. The text here doesn't really explicitly tell us that he is old. If you're comparing this account to Anna's account next in Luke's story here, it tells us explicitly that Anna is old, but not Simeon. So why Luke didn't give us any more about Simeon? Well, perhaps this is by Luke's design that he wants everyone to be able to identify with Simeon's longing for comfort, waiting to be comforted without mentioning the specific hardships he might be experiencing in life. In other words, anyone can be Simeon if you understood his longing for comfort in the midst of dark times in life. Have you ever experienced the feeling of Have you ever experienced the feeling of or witnessed others to have the feeling of being depressed, discouraged, in pain physically or emotionally, to the point where you want to die? But yet, you know, life isn't over yet, that their life must go on. It's kind of painful, isn't it? Perhaps that's the kind of feeling Luke wants us to identify with. And notice this about Simeon, and I'll return to this concept later, that the need, the comfort of the nation and the world, even the world, in other words, other people, not just himself, that all that comfort has become so personal to him, to Simeon, as expressed in his song here. So, hearing all this so far, what can we learn? Well, let's start with thinking this one concept here. God surely keeps a remnant, a faithful, righteous, devout believers, even in the midst of them experiencing dark times in the world or in their own lives. God keeps a remnant, a people for himself. In other words, it is absolutely possible for us, for you, for me, to remain faithful and obedient even when darkness surrounds us. In other words, you don't ever have need to give up thinking that it is too hard to live life as Christian because you think you are all alone. That it is just you versus the world or you versus your own difficult situations. Yes, biblical morality isn't the norm in our society. Yeah. Obedience may not be the things in your friend's circle. People don't talk about being obedient to the parents, to the teachers. Or maybe the pain and turmoil and suffering may be too severe for you to bear. And the pressure for you to cave to temptation, to give in to temptation may be extremely high. But you have to remember, that you are not alone in this fight. Look at Simeon here in this case. He has been tasked with bearing witness to the coming of the Messiah by the Holy Spirit in the midst of a dark world. There's no mention of the Holy Spirit giving him special strength to endure whatever he had to endure. And maybe he was even dealing with dark personal struggles that we don't know of. But at the very least, you can actually think about, you know, he would be telling people all through his life, I'm waiting for the Messiah to come and I'm coming to the temple every day to see if the Lord Jesus is there. People was like, what a crazy old man. Well, crazy man, who knows how old he was, right? What a crazy man. They would ridicule him. But yet, Simeon was obedient and he was faithful as he waited for the comfort promised by God. Verse 29 says, Simeon says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart. Now, this isn't the typical Greek word, Lord, kyrios, which often points to the idea of Yahweh in the New Testament. No, that's not the word being used here, but he uses a different word. He uses the word, in the Greek word, despotes, which means sovereign master with total control. That's the Lord here. You can't see it in English, but that's what it means. Sovereign master with total control. Alongside, in this verse, he mentions, Simeon calls himself a doulos, a bond servant to the master. You see the connection here? Simeon knows his place. He knows his role. He knows his responsibility. What he's supposed to do in life, which is a servant to a sovereign Lord. His master. Remember this. True believers, the true church may seem small, little, maybe even powerless in this dark world. Think of the example of the effect of the coronavirus pandemic has done to the church, right? Look at us today. How many people are here worship? Five of us here. You may think that's it. What happened to the church? Church is not going to be around anymore. But Jesus, remember this, Jesus has promised, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So don't just look around and think that you're all alone trying to be faithful and be depressed like the prophet Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah? He had this great victory over the prophets of Baal, and then but yet he fled, and then he went into the depression, thinking that he was all alone. God, I've been doing all this for you. What have you done for yourself? He thought he was the only faithful person, but yet later on it was revealed to him that God himself has saved 7,000 in Israel. 1 Kings 17. Also in this story, Simeon is not the only faithful person in the midst of a dark world. We also see Joseph and Mary. We see Joseph and Mary, their obedience to God, to the angel telling them to name him Jesus, which they did. And also they came to the temple to do what? To fulfill the law of God. The circumcision, purification, presentation, and consecration. Luke lumped all that together in a few sentences here. But how did they do it? Well, the situation was what? Luke made sure that we know that Joseph and Mary were extremely poor because they couldn't afford a lamb. All they could do is just get two doves or two turtle doves or a pigeons. Verse 24 here. So the question here for us is to think about should be, as God is sovereignly working to keep a remnant, a people, true believers, are you one of them? Are you one of them? Are you willing to obey God's call, God's law, against the darkness of this world, the dealings of this world, against the difficult situations of this world, even against extreme personal adversity that you may be facing right now? So, why discomfort? Because we live in this dark world, and in this dark world, we are called to be faithful. And God is keeping a remnant. Are you one of them? So second, what is this comfort about? Right? We've been saying that we need comfort in this dark world. Well, it is the only kind of comfort that really matters and the only kind that lasts. The only kind that lasts. Again, this comfort is expressed by Simeon in the first line of the song as he sings, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." The Latin name of this song is called Nunc Dimittis. Remember I told you that Zechariah's song is called the Benedictus. Mary's song is called the Magnificat. This is called the Nunc Dimittis because from the first two words of the Latin version, it says, now depart. That's what it means, now depart. What does it mean, depart? Well, it means death, most likely. Verse 26 says that, you know, the Holy Spirit told him that he wouldn't see death before he see the Christ, the Lord's Christ. So his death. And also, when he says depart, it could be a discharge of his duty to bear witness to the Messiah. Simeon sees that other than what God, the Holy Spirit, has called him to do, to bear witness to the Messiah and to receive the comfort that comes from it, there is nothing else in this world for him to truly live for. In other words, his life's comfort is found only in seeing and experiencing God's salvation. Verse 30. So only with God's peace of salvation brought by the Messiah, death, life's worst and final enemy, is nothing to be afraid of. That is the only kind of comfort that really matters and the only kind that lasts. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring this kind of comfort to all peoples, to all mankind, because Jesus came to give salvation to all those who trust in him by living a perfect life for us, keeping God's law perfectly, and by ultimately dying for the punishment of our sin on the cross, so that believers wouldn't face eternal death. This is the ultimate and only comfort we have, that is knowing and trusting Jesus as our salvation. The well-known Presbyterian pastor in the 20th century, Donald Gray Barnhouse, in the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, whose first wife died, and that one time he was driving his kids after the funeral, going home. And the kids in the car asked Barnhouse, they said, "Daddy, I don't understand where did mommy go? What does it mean that she died?" Barnhouse was trying to figure out what to say at the moment. And then just then, a truck passed by, casting a shadow over his car. And then he said to them, "Kids, would you have rather been hit by this truck or by the shadow?" Of course, the kids answer, "Well, by the shadow, because it doesn't hurt, for the shadow only darkens things for a moment." Then Barnhouse went on to say, "Kids, when you die without Christ, you're hit by the truck. But when you die with Christ, you're only hit by the shadow. The shadow is all you get." Without having this hope of salvation revealed in Jesus, what he would do in his life and ultimately on the cross, we, all mankind, would be struck by the horror of final death, God's punishment of sin. Jews or Gentiles alike, doesn't matter who you are. Think about it this way. God's promise of salvation was originally made in seed form through the nation of Israel. They were the first nation to get this revelation. And so when the final fulfillment has come, not only Israel is shown the glory of this promise, fulfillment, but also it brings light and hope to all peoples, Gentiles, you and me, in this dark world. I want you to do a gut check here at this moment. After seeing what this comfort is all about, the salvation that Simeon sings about, what is the one thing that matters most in your own life? What is the one thing that matters most in your own life? What do knowing the gospel, knowing Jesus, and living according to his calls and commands, all that mean to you? What do they all mean? How important is the gospel to you comparing to everything else in your life? And how does it show? How does it show? My point here is, the true comfort of God's salvation is utterly unlike anything else in this world. Utterly unlike any other comforts the world offers, because the world's comfort is ultimately about you. The comforts that this world offers ultimately about you feeling comfortable about yourself, as long as you think. It's kind of like, as long as you think I will go to heaven when I die, that's it. That's all that matters. Well, that isn't the kind of comfort I'm talking about here. Because that would be all about you, just like you're using God for your purpose. Like you're using everything else in life. Okay? And it doesn't last. Because it really doesn't help you now, because that comfort isn't true. It isn't true. The true comfort of God's salvation starts with God. It starts with God, what God does for you. God saving and being with you through your entire life. Through your entire life, starting from the moment he saves you, not just at the moment of your death. And it extends beyond your earthly death. In other words, we are talking about a relationship. We're talking about a relationship with a saving God. Then this is why it is so comforting to know, to trust, to love Jesus as you continue to live your life in the midst of all the darkness, even in the midst of conflicts and persecution, as prophesied even by Simeon here. Simeon prophesies that there will be, and they anticipate that there will be conflict and persecution, verse 34, in Jesus' life, which if you are in Christ, it applies to you too. This is comforting because, why? Because God is with you
through it all. Because God is with you through it all. This is the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us.
There's one more aspect about this kind of comfort, and that is God saves others like you, sinners in the world, together through Jesus. See how this is not self-focused again? If you truly know and see this kind of comfort, then other people's salvation and God's plan of salvation of the entire world would and should become personal to you. Just like what's happening here with Simeon. He really took it personally. If you were like Simeon, if you truly understood this comfort, you would be excited. You would be personally comforted seeing others being saved by God. You would be singing and praising God for his marvelous salvation. See, there's always a dimension of others in the true comfort, in this true comfort that God offers in the gospel. Finally, knowing what this comfort is about, how do we get it? How this comfort can be ours? Well, if you want this kind of comfort, we need to truly see and experience Jesus like Simeon. And for that to happen, we need to first recognize what the darkness of the world, this world, is really doing to us. Think about what your own sin is doing to your own life. Think about your bitterness, your hatred, your jealousy, your greed is doing to your own life and to your own family and to the people around you. It only leads us away from God, from Jesus, and from our salvation. If in any moment we think any hope, any signs of hope, any progress or comfort in this world is better, we're in trouble. If we think that there's any hope apart from the gospel, however good it is, however promising it may be, can last, watch out, because it won't. And we cannot be content with darkness. Once we know what is good, we cannot compromise. We cannot be content with the darkness by ignoring the gospel light. There's this interesting story I read that is this desert nomad, a wanderer, who woke up hungry in the middle of the night. And he lit a candle and started eating some dates, a bowl of dates, next to his bed. And so he took a bite from one and he saw, guess what? A worm in the date, in the date he was eating. So he just threw it out right away. Then he just took another one and found another worm. It's like, oh, and then he threw it out again. So he reasoned in his own mind, thinking like, well, if I keep on doing this, I would have nothing left to eat at all. I'm hungry. So what did he do? He blew out the candle and quickly ate all the dates. This is being content with darkness. The good news of salvation of Jesus Christ to Israel and to the world, this marvelous grace of God, is the light that shines into this dark world. What this gospel does, as you are hearing it in this moment, this morning, is that it pierces through your heart, revealing your deepest desires and motives, if you truly understood what this is all about. But the sad truth is, by yourself, on your own, you are not able to choose against darkness. You're not able to choose against the horror of darkness of this world, even your own personal darkness. You're not able to do it unless you have faith. Unless we have faith to see the light, which is a form of spiritual vision, to experience, to see Jesus. You know, Simeon saw only baby Jesus without any of the things that he would do in his life, without seeing his life, without seeing any miracles, without seeing his death, without seeing his resurrection. And yet, he believed. He sings. He praises God, his comfort, the God's comfort of salvation already. But guess what? Now, we can see Jesus in hindsight. We see his cross, we see his miracles, we see his resurrection, we see his even his ascension. So the matter is, do you truly believe Jesus' salvation? Are you willing to ask God to give you that faith, that spiritual vision to see Christ and let him be your true comfort in your life? Even if you have never done it before today. It is never too late. It is never too late. Start today. Ask God to give you that faith, that spiritual vision, to see your need of his comfort. And one last thing. Let us also remember that Simeon didn't just die after this encounter with the Messiah, after holding baby Jesus in his arm. Who knows how long he lived after this? Remember, I said earlier, we don't know how old Simeon was at the time. He might not be as old as we think he is. And what happened? What else happened, you know, in his life? Well, life would have, could have, still filled with difficulties and sadness and trials and miseries. We don't know. But Simeon could still sing and praise God because of God's redemption in Christ. And also because of Christ's return. Something I didn't mention earlier. Notice that? Because of Christ's return. Which is what we believers today, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, are looking forward to. We are all looking forward to the return of Christ. Let me end this with a story about the hymn that we're going to sing in the response song. It is Well With My Soul. Maybe you're familiar with this story, that you have heard it before, many times, maybe. I'm usually very careful about hymn story because there are a lot of stories out there not accurate. But I have done, you know, my research here and find a reliable source of this story. The song, It Is Well With My Soul, is written by a guy named Horatio Spafford, a very successful lawyer in Chicago in the mid-1980s. He also had a very good and close relationship with Dwight L. Moody and many other evangelical leaders at the time. And of course, he is a musician, able to write music, and as well as a devout student of Scripture. But Spafford lost almost everything in the Chicago fire in 1871. And just before that, he was mourning already of the death of his son. I don't know how and why he died. See, he was mourning for the death of his son. And after that, he decided to devote more time to serve the Lord, assisting Moody in his work in Great Britain. So he planned to go to Europe in 1873. But an unexpected business development, as he was trying to tie things up, kept him in Chicago. But he sent his wife and his four daughters to go across the Atlantic Ocean ahead of him. He planned to follow a few days later, but on November 22nd, their ship was struck by another English vessel and sank within 12 minutes. Days later, Spafford received a telegraph with only two words in it. It says, "Saved alone," from his wife. And shortly after that, Spafford came to be with her. It was speculated that on the sea near the area where it was thought his four daughters had drowned, Spafford penned this hymn. It seems to express his deep grief and sorrow, but it is extremely noteworthy to know that he doesn't dwell on the theme of life's sorrow and trials. Rather, he focuses attention on the third stanza, which I want you to pay attention to when we sing. He focuses his attention on the third stanza, on the redemptive work of Christ. And on the fourth stanza, Christ's glorious
second coming. In other words, this is a song of praise. This is a song of praise. Humanly speaking, it is amazing that one could experience such personal tragedies and sorrows and still be able to say with such convincing clarity, it is well with my soul. Why? Why? The comfort of knowing this cosmic salvation of God has become so personal to Spafford. Ask yourself, is it to you? Let's pray. Father, we give thanks and praise to you for the comfort that your salvation brings. Oh Lord, lead us to see Jesus, lead us to experience him so that we know what darkness that we are facing without him. Help us to cling on to this wonderful hope of the gospel. And lead us to see the glorious day when Christ returns. And then therefore help us to endure and persevere during this time. Give us the confidence in knowing that we can rely on the truth of the gospel every moment of our life, because your grace is sufficient. Pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us sing.